Welcome to Strength for the Journey. Thanks for joining us again. Strength for the Journey is a radio program designed to strengthen the believer for the days that lie ahead. We have a website at strength with the number 4, thejourney.com. And this is radio program number 93, if you're listening by radio. I want to first mention that we have the 24/7 internet radio station back on the air again. It's called S4TJ Radio, and you could just go to s4tjradio.com, and you can listen to Strength for the Journey radio programs. They're posted normally. There's a half an hour program at the top of the hour, and then there's worship music the rest of the hour. And or you can I have a app on my phone called TuneIn or TuneIn Radio, and you can download that app and just search for S4TJ and then a space radio, and you can follow that way on TuneIn Radio on a radio app. So tonight I have a really good friend of mine. His name is David Williams, and he moved to Panama about a year ago, and he's been a very, very close friend for the last year. And in fact, maybe 6 months ago or so, he saw the need for an assistant. I was overwhelmed with so many things going on that he just said, "Hey, let me see what I can do to help." And he's been an incredible helper for me for the last 6 months. David, thanks for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
You know, I think about that one scripture that your gift will make room for you. And I think it goes even further than that. It's the giving of your gift makes room for you. You know, you just offered to help whatever way you could. And I had so many emails that were coming my way, just people needing, asking questions about Panama. And I said, let me just forward these. Let me start with that. And out of that, developed a ministry. And you began a website called BoquetteHelp.com. And it's been a very powerful ministry to help many people that are looking to relocate. Why don't you share a little bit about just kind of how all that kind of happened, and the Lord just kind of put that on your heart, and then all of a sudden it was a website was up.
Sure. Well, I suppose about a little before, maybe 8 months or so ago, we started seeing the writing on the wall in regards to how many people were relocating here to Boquete, primarily from North America, Canada, and the United States. And I think we saw the need for just some practical assistance for those people, whether that was helping them with permanent residency, finding them places to live, answering questions about where to purchase dental floss, you know, just from the small, you know, the minutia to the larger issues of life, even just picking them up at the airport and introducing them to other brothers and sisters here in the area. And so I think it was just out of the recognition of that need. You were already a point person here in the Boquete area and were fielding a lot of the requests and questions. And so, you know, I think both of us saw that those numbers were going to increase as the year went on, and certainly they did. We've had requests from over 200 families that are very serious about relocating here. Of those 200 families, we've seen over 90 families have representatives here on the ground, and over 60 of those families have actually permanently relocated here. Or if not permanently, they have moved here, sold everything they owned, and moved here to Panama. So that's kind of the story. It's led to, I think, for you and I and many others here, it's led to us having a very unique perspective in seeing what God is doing as He has His hand on the lives of these people. And, you know, currently we still have more requests coming in. I would expect to see more people continue to relocate here. But it's been very interesting. It's certainly a mystery, even though maybe we're on the front lines. I don't think we have any idea what God is doing yet. But it's been very interesting.
Well, it has been very interesting. It's been almost like you get to watch the gospel play out in people's lives. I had a scripture that came to my mind just a moment ago, and in my Bible it says the cost of following Jesus, and this is in Luke chapter 9, verse 57. It said, "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." When I think about that, you know, foxes, the hole is for a place of security and a place of just a place where he can go and hide out. And a bird has nest is a place of security as well and comfort. And I think what he's trying to say is that, look, I don't have any place of comfort or security. And then if you're going to follow me, that's going to be similar to what your life will be like too. It's not going to be something of comfort. And I think what I've learned most of all in all this last 3.5 years of leaving the country of our birth is that most of us seek comfort in life. And as long as we're seeking comfort, it'll be very difficult to follow the Lord according to the way you have to follow him. Because he said in Luke chapter 14 that you can't even be his disciple if you don't forsake all, or if you don't pick up your cross. In other words, you know you're going to your death, you know, to follow him. You have to die to yourself, and that you can't love anybody more than him, including your own life. And these are things he said, you cannot be my disciple. You disqualify yourself if you don't follow this guideline. This kind of message isn't being preached in the churches today, but that's what Jesus said. And so when you get to the point where you really do pursue God with all your heart, you realize the price that it cost you, price of persecution, the price of leaving the comforts. But, you know, the blessing that comes on the other end of it, he said, no man has left houses and lands and family, and that it does not receive 100-fold in this life and in life to come, eternal life. So the rewards are fantastic, but it comes in a different way. It's, you know, one thing I've really learned too is that, you know, he says you can only serve two masters. There's only one master. And the other master was mammon. It didn't say Satan, certain things or whatever. It was either God or mammon. And, you know, as long as you're just working to make a living, that's the way my life was anyway. And I think I wasn't really serving the Lord like the way he called us to serve him. I think I was serving mammon and making myself feel good. I was taking care of my family. And so to follow him in such a way really takes a total different dynamic. You see things from a different perspective when you have to pay the price yourself. And then you realize when people are making that move as well, you watch them have to go through the process of paying the price too to follow him. And not everybody wants to pay the price. I mean, Jesus said, follow me. And just in the next few verses after this one I just read, it said, you know, well, let me go bury my father, or let me go. You know, it's like you're looking for excuses not to obey, not to follow, rather than what making excuses to follow. I will follow you everywhere. It doesn't matter what I got to give up. I'm going to follow you. And so this has been a very interesting perspective as we've been watching people. Some stay and some people go back. And we see the price that they come to. You know, the cash register comes up and goes ching ching. And it's like, guess what you got to pull out of your billfold? Your life. It's not a piece of paper with a president's face on it that you got to pay the price to follow the Lord. It's your life that you have to give up. And once you give it up, everything is like, wow, it's like the difference between a caterpillar pretending to be a butterfly and him really dying and going into cocoon and turns to this incredible creature and flies away and says, wow, it was worth it all to give it all up, to give up my old life as a worm. Anyway, it's just amazing to sit here and help many people, because you have done so much. You pick up people from the airport and take them, find them a house, find them a place to stay. We have many get-togethers that we try to put together, and I really appreciate what you've done, putting together a little fellowship day, Tuesday night dinner. All these things are very helpful. Because one thing I've realized is that nobody's going to make this thing on their own. We need each other. And one thing I've really found more than anything is that I had an experience when I was traveling across the country one time, and there was a tree that grew out of a solid rock, and it was over 150 years old. And there's no other trees around but this one tree that was in a rock. It's in southern Wyoming, near Laramie, Wyoming, on I-80. And when I saw this, became such a spiritual revelation to me of a tree that could grow out of a rock. And the way I look at it, if it's the rock that we have to hang on to, is what did God say? Did God say for you to go? Did God say to leave? And if he did, you better grow your roots down inside that rock and hang on for everything you got. The winds blow about up to 100 miles an hour out there on those prairies in southern Wyoming. And that tree was just bent over, growing on that rock, bent at an angle because of the winds that blow so hard. But it's just hanging on to that rock with everything it's got. And that's one thing I think is so important for people. Because Satan, what does he do when God speaks? He always comes and says, "Hath God said?" You know, did he really say? And try to put doubt in your mind. He did that with Adam and Eve. And he did with Jesus. He said, if you're the Son of God, you know, turn the stone to bread. Trying to put doubt in his mind, who is he? And this is one thing I really encourage people to do. If God speaks to you and you know he spoke to you, you better etch that thing in stone, because the winds will blow and Satan will do everything he can to take you off course.
Well, and it's an interesting thing that you mentioned Mammon, because we see in all of these people coming in, we get an insider's view of their lives and their struggles and their emotions. And where they are so often challenged, where Satan so often comes to them and asks them that question, that age-old question, "Hath God said?" is in the area of their finances. And so we have seen people come in and say, "Hey, I'm down to my last $100. And we've seen people that are equally as flustered who are down to their last $500,000 or so. And so, you know, many, many more zeros. And so it's just interesting to see where is there, are they really believing that God is their provider? Are they really believing that he is going to be their supply? And I think one of the things that has helped me, and I've shared this with some others as well, is that, you know, Christianity 101, our baseline is that, you know, Jesus said that's what the pagans run after. Actually, he's not even talking about money there. He's talking about food and clothing. I mean, basic necessities for life on this planet. He says that the pagans run after all those things, but for us, we're just supposed to focus upon the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's what we're to seek after. And he says that if we do that, that these things will be added unto us. And of course, in context, these things only apply to two items, food and clothing. And of course, God is a generous, gracious Father. He likes to give good gifts to his children, and he so often gives us so much more than that. But Paul reiterates that later and says, having food and clothing, we'll be content with that. But, you know, of course, even Jesus says that his meat or his food was to do the will of the Father. And of course, our clothing as believers in Christ is we're to be clothed in righteousness. So. Again, we need to set our sights on things above, not on things below. And I have found, you know, certainly from personal experience, that if we enter into that economy, that economy doesn't have recessions. That economy, now, it may have ups and downs for our flesh, but if we keep our eyes focused on the Lord, then he directs the provision of our needs, and we go from there.
You know, I think your testimony of the financial support what you had in your pocket when you came here, and yet God provided everything that you needed here one day at a time, and he just took you each step. And most people would not come as a single person to a foreign land with what you had brought with you, yet God provided for you. And I think, you know, you have brought six children with you, your wife, and yet the Lord provided, first of all, a place to stay. You didn't have to pay when you first got here. The Lord provided a house for you to stay. And then as you began to get your feet on the ground, then you found another house to live in. It wasn't a very big house. But the one thing that I admire in you is the gratefulness that you had. Even though it was not a very big house, you're just thankful to have a home. And this is another key, I think, that it takes to endure the price that we have to pay to follow him, is a grateful heart. And everything is give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. In every situation, if you can find something to be thankful for, it's like what I call antidote for the poison of bitterness or ungratefulness and murmuring and complaining. And this is what happened to the children of Israel when they left their bondage. And they were traveling to the promised land. Instead of looking forward and thanking God for every day for the provision, that he gave them on the way to the promised land, they were murmuring because of what they didn't have. And I've seen people do this too. They think about more of what they gave up than what God has for them. They think about, it's like you're not even, the hundredfold is in front of you, and you're concerned about the onefold that you gave up. I know the Lord gave me a word for a man one time, because he went through a huge struggle. Lots of things were taken from him, or he gave up so much. And the word the Lord gave me was that keep your eyes focused ahead, because there's more of ahead of you than what you're leaving behind. But you can't look back. There's a real reason why Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. Too many people become Lot's wife, and they look back, and they start thinking about their memories. Many of them were memories. The leeks and garlic were nothing but memories to the children of Israel. There was nothing there but a wasteland to go back to. But they were just going back. They wanted to go back to their memories. And the Lord has more memories for each one of us as we're willing to pursue the plan that he has for us. I mean, it's time to make new memories. There's time to pursue what's ahead, not what's behind. I mean, I the Lord gave me a word when I was out in my shop getting rid of all this stuff. I had cars and tools and everything else, and I was just weeding through everything the 2 months after we came back from our exploratory trip here. And I was looking at these trophies that I got since I was a kid, and I've been carting them around since I was a little kid. And as I'm looking at these things, thinking, because the Lord said, you know, you're not taking anything but suitcases, I'm looking at these trophies going, where are these things going to fit? And I heard the Lord say, do you want to hang on to your old trophies, or do you want new ones? And I believe that's the question all of us, maybe if the Lord would ask us all a question, are we so enamored with our old trophies, or are we ready for new ones? Are we ready for new accomplishments that God has for us? There's gifts inside. So many people are listening right now that have never been even tapped into. And they won't be tapped into until you go to a new place, a new land, where there's the freedom and where the need, that gift inside of you is there, resonant and dormant, because it's not in the right place. It's like once you get to the right place where God has for you, then these giftings and these talents and these abilities just blossom. And you know, there's a scripture you were looking at a moment ago about the boundaries that in Acts.
Well, and it's in Acts chapter 17 where Paul is talking to those in Athens, and he's talking about how God in his sovereignty has appointed the times that we would be in, and even set the boundaries of our habitation. In other words, you know, the time and the place. And Paul says that the reason that God has done this is that we might seek him and perchance find him. And, you know, I think that's one thing that we are continuing to see. I think it's an important thing for many of the people who the Lord has laid it upon their heart to relocate from North America to Panama. I think there is something about fleeing and going to a safe place, and that's legitimate. But what I'm seeing, and what I think many of us are seeing, is the greater, superior reality, if you will, that we are here to seek him and find him, and we see areas of brokenness in all of us that have come here, and some are more evident than others, but we all carry this brokenness. We all have failed in some area in life or another. We've all been wounded or hurt, and some people greatly so. And I think I see the Lord gathering a flock here to be healed, to be comforted, to be raised up and strengthened and encouraged. And you know, I see his hand at work in that on a daily basis. And so, you know, more so even than relocating a person from one nation to another, I think the important thing is to see fruit born for the kingdom, fruit that would remain, mm-hmm. eternal fruit, you know, the healing of people's souls. And so it's really interesting. We've had people that show up that we thought were disciples of Christ, that we find out when they get here that they're very wrapped up in New Age philosophy, and we've even had some Buddhists and Hindu and Baha'i people come across our paths lately, and you know, I think maybe even a few months ago I would have shied away or maybe even taken a step back and thought, oh no, you know, we can't have any involvement with these. And but anymore, I just see that the Lord, by His sovereign hand, is leading people here to find Him. And of course, is, you know, I just pray that He would enable us to be good ambassadors, to represent Him well.
Yes. You know, I think that it's not so much a relocation of our physical body, it's more of a relocation of our heart.
Amen.
And this is, I think, one thing that kind of comes to my mind when you were mentioning the scripture. It says that, this is in verse 26 of chapter 17, and hath made one blood of all nations of men to dwell, and all the face of the earth, and has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. And I think that when you leave your place of comfort, is that you'll find yourself seeking the Lord more than you ever have before. And I mentioned this before, that when I got here and we didn't know anybody, didn't know the language, and I was like a fish out of water, you know, I just was not in my comfort zone at all. And I said, Lord, if you don't feed me, I'm going to die. And I heard Him say to me, He said, good, now you're where I want you. And I think He's trying to get us to a place where we're desperate for Him. And as long as we have everything that we need, we really don't need Him, because we got everything. So I think that part of really leaving your stuff, leaving your comforts, leaving everything maybe that you know, and it doesn't have to be Panama. It could be wherever the God calls you to go, which is just a particular place that we are at right now. But, you know, when the Lord brought me here, I didn't know what He wanted to do. I had no clue. But we just found a place where we knew we were supposed to be, began to plug in, and then God began to manifest Himself in our life here with certain people and situations and opportunities. And it all happened out of an act of obedience. And so my encouragement for anybody listening is that there's opportunities awaiting, just, and they are awaiting on your act of obedience. If you'll just do what God tells you to do, you'll see His hand begin to move. But most people don't see His hand moving because they're not moving. They're not doing anything. They're not moving with what God's saying, or not even asking God, what do you want me to do? You know, it says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom. Only he that does the will of my Father. So how are you going to ever do the will of the Father if you're never pursuing the will of the Father? If you're never asking, God, what do you want me to do with my life? Where do you want me to go? Am I in the right place? What do you want me to do today? There's a pursuit that must be enacted in order to follow the Lord and to do His will. But He will, in Philippians it says, as for God at work within you, both to will and to do His good pleasure. He's at work in each one of us. He's giving us the desire to do what He wants to do. Then He helps us do what He wants us to do. It's His enabling power. But we got to enact that enabling power.
You know, and I'm just thinking back to what you had mentioned earlier about being in the United States and the mindset being different in regards to just chasing after the dollar and being in that pursuit of mammon. And I would just, you know, I feel kind of compelled to issue a solemn challenge to anyone who would hear our words right now, that switch economies. You know, it's not just the United States of America. It's not just their economy that's going to falter and collapse and go down. It's this entire world system. It's Babylonian, if you will. You know, one of the descriptions of this great mystery is that she holds in her hand the maddening cup of her adulteries. And it's those who have committed adultery with her who have grown rich by trade. You know, it's when she disappears in 1 hour. It's when she suffers her great collapse. It's those merchants. It's those who traded in ships that stand back aghast and say, "How could this be? This was our life." And you know, I would just issue a challenge and say, "Get into a different economy." You know that at some point unless you receive the mark of the beast. Now, whether that's a physical mark or whether that's something that is internal or you know, that maybe has some kind of outward manifestation, you know, people have been debating that for many years now. But don't let that be the issue. Enter into God's economy. God's economy is seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And these things, you know, your Father has need, knows that you need them long before you even ask. And if we put first things first, then he'll take care of the rest.
Yeah, he's just waiting us to put first thing first. You know, sometimes he's the last thing, and he's only first in our place of desperation. You know, I think even just fasting. I mean, how many people actually fast? How many people push themselves away from the table when they can eat? Not many people will separate themselves from a meal when the meal is sitting in front of them. And I think there's just a separation that God's trying to get us to where our flesh is not being fed all the time. He said, man does not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from his mouth. And that word is rhema from the Greek. It's every rhema of God. And this is a revelatory word that God wants to speak to each one of us. I mean, it's not going to be read the Bible and you're going to find out where you're supposed to go. Oh, you know, it's God's going to speak to our hearts, and he's going to tell us what to do, where to go, who to see. You know, and I just think that if everybody would begin to pursue the will of God, he will by all means, he will manifest that will in our life.
That's right. That's right.
So we got about a minute left. What anything that you feel like maybe just from our experience we've got to really see many people's lives changed in the last 6 months that have come and have made the effort to make the changes. What encouraging word could you for anybody out there that whatever God says, I like what Mary said, just do it.
Well, you know, I think we're told to encourage one another daily and all the more so as we see the day approaching. And so that word encourage, you know, I would hope that listeners would take courage and that they would act in courage and with boldness and do maybe things, you know, if they're hearing our words and if the Holy Spirit is convicting them in areas of their life and saying, hey, this is fluff, this is meaningless, this is an extra that does not belong, that they would be brave enough, courageous enough to allow the Lord to winnow that out by his Spirit, to purge it and to heed the call.
Amen. David, thank you for joining us, and thank you for listening to Strength for the Journey. Again, our website is strength4thejourney.com, and we'll see you next time.